And now, if you'll turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, I am going to begin reading at verse 21. All too often we come to the early moments or early days in the life of Christ, see him in a manger, but then we leave him there and forget that there were some days following Christmas, the events of which are very vital to the framework of our faith. I want us to consider for a few moments tonight what happened after Christmas. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Our eternal God, we thank thee that Jesus Christ became flesh and dwelt among us. We thank thee for the record of his life in the blessed and divine word. We thank thee that we can sing his praise. We thank thee that we can talk about him. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, that we can bring together the thoughts from the scriptures that help us to get a new and better understanding of the things that Christ has done for us in his life and in his death. Grant unto us in these moments a clear comprehension of those events that transpired after Christmas, the first Noel, the first time of the good tidings, and the announcement of the birth of the Savior that rings through the ages, that is clear tonight across the world, where men are gathered to commemorate this most wonderful and most blessed event. And again we pray that the Christ of Bethlehem might be our Savior, and might be for us the blessed hope, the star of hope that guides us through the darkness of these difficult and dismal days. In his name we ask it, and for his sake we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Luke chapter 2 and verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death till he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed him, and blessed God, and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers, night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. These verses from verse 21 through verse 38 give us a record of those things that transpired immediately after the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that from the study of the Word of God in Old Testament prophecy, that Jesus Christ came in the flesh in fulfillment of the word of prophecy. We noted in our Sunday school lesson this morning that Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 was the first word of prophecy concerning the Messiah, and that Genesis 3:15 prophesied that the Messiah would come as the seed of the woman. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, we learn that he was to be born of a virgin, for behold, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. And Matthew, in quoting from Isaiah, goes on to enlarge a little bit upon that and gives us the definition of the word Emmanuel, which simply means God with us. From Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, we learn that Christ is to sit upon the throne of David and from Jerusalem reign over all the house of Jacob and ultimately over all the world. We can see by these prophetic utterances that the New Testament is a fulfillment of the Old. That the Old Testament, apart from the New, would not be complete. That the Old Testament is to the New Testament what a foundation is to a building, or the roots are to a tree. One is not complete without the other, for they explain and interpret one another. The Old Covenant includes then many prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah, the Christ child. The New Testament unfolds for us in complete detail the absolute fulfillment, right down even to the time that Jesus would be born, from Daniel chapter 9, the prophecy, the place of his birth from Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, which pinpoints Jerusalem, or rather Bethlehem in Judea, as being the place that Jesus would be born. Bethlehem was the city of David. Bethlehem is about 6 miles south of Jerusalem, and remains one of the more important cities of all Palestine. Now, when Jesus was born, we noted from Genesis 3:15 that he would be born as the seed of the woman. When we come to the gospel accounts, we have two records of the ancestors of Jesus. In Matthew's account, we have the record of the ancestors of Joseph, the foster father of Jesus. There, Matthew, the gospel writer, traces the ancestors of Joseph back to and beyond David. But for our study, we will stop at David. For David came out of the tribe of Judah, Judah out of Jacob, Jacob out of Isaac, Isaac out of Abraham, in whose loins the nation of Israel was called. We know that the story of the Bible, and the Old Testament in particular, is the story of one nation, the nation Israel, which narrows into one tribe, the tribe of Judah. Genesis 49:10 prophesied that Jesus would come out of the tribe of Judah. That one tribe further narrows into one family, the royal family of David, which in the end produced one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the flesh. So Matthew sets out, by the help of the Holy Spirit, and indeed by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to give to us the proof of the official or legal right of Christ to reign upon the throne of David. Thus, he traces the ancestors of Joseph back to David, inside the line of reigning kings. One of David's sons was named Solomon. It was Solomon who inherited the throne when David died. Joseph comes out of that element from the house of David. On the other hand, Luke gives us the ancestors of the mother of Jesus, Mary. He likewise traces the ancestors of Mary back to and beyond David, but not through Solomon, but through another son of David's by the name of Nathan. So in Matthew's account, we have the official or legal right of Christ to reign upon the throne. In Luke's account, the ancestors of Mary, Jesus has the real or human right to reign upon the throne of David. Joseph, from the house of David, the tribe of Judah. Mary, his mother, from the house of David and the tribe of Judah. We note in the New Testament, as we said before, the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures. We see in verse 21 that when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus. Circumcision had its beginning back in the 16th chapter of the book of Genesis, when God had made a covenant with Abraham that out of his loins would come one that would bless all the nations of earth, that his would be a particular family, and they would inherit the land of Canaan, later to be known as the land of Israel. And the token of that covenant was the rite of circumcision, and every male child was circumcised on the 8th day. Jesus was the seed of Abraham. Galatians 3:16 says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, who is Christ." Inasmuch as Christ was the seed of Abraham, that which was prescribed for Abraham's seed was fulfilled in the life of Jesus. When he was 8 days old, he was circumcised. And his name was called Jesus. That's his earthly name. His heavenly name is Christ, the Anointed One, or the Messiah. Jesus is an interesting word. It comes from the words Jehovah Hoshea, which is shortened into Jehoshua, which is further shortened into the word Joshua, and finally, the abbreviated word Jesus. Jehovah Hoshea means the God of salvation. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, which is the equivalent of the Old Testament Joshua in meaning, because he shall save his people from their sins. So his earthly title is that of a Savior, Jesus, when he was 8 days old. The angel had already named him while he was yet in his mother's womb, even before he was conceived in his mother's womb, verse 21 says. Verse 22 tells us that when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, that they brought the child Jesus to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the number one city in all of God's economy with man. It is a symbol of righteousness. It is the capital of the religious world. It is yet to be the prominent city of all the cities of the nations of earth. For Jesus, according to the prophecy, Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, and other Old Testament scriptures, and the fulfillment in Luke chapter 1 at verse 32 and verse 33, in the announcement of his birth to Mary, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." David's throne was in Jerusalem. "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Now when the days of Mary's purification, remember that Jesus was prophesied to be the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15. Now, if you will put over against that Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, these words, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman. Genesis 3:15, made of a woman. Further, Paul says, made under the law. For what purpose? Verse 5 says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Made of a woman, Genesis 3:15, made under the law. Later in Jesus' life and ministry, he made a statement something like this: think not that I am come to destroy the law. I am come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. In his life, he met every requirement of the divine law of God. If you will turn back to the Old Testament, if you have your Bible, or listen carefully, to the book of Leviticus, chapter 12, we shall see the significance of what takes place as is recorded in Luke, chapter 2, the things that happened after the first Christmas. Leviticus, chapter 12, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman had conceived seed and borne a man-child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, according to the days of the separation. For her infirmity shall she be unclean. And in the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. You read it in Luke 2:21. After the 8 days, Jesus was circumcised. Now read on, verse 4. And she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary, until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. But if she bear a maid child, then shall she be unclean 2 weeks, as in her separation. And she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 66 days. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled, for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest, who shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her. And she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law for her that hath borne a male or a female. And if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring 2 turtles, or 2 young pigeons, the one for the burnt offering, and the other for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. Now I direct your attention back to Luke chapter 2 and verse 22. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem. For what purpose? Read it at the end of verse 22. To present him to the Lord. Remember Galatians 4:4. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Jesus said, I am come not to destroy, but to fulfill the law. If you'll go back now to Exodus chapter 13 and verse 2. Verse 1 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify or set apart unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. Now the law in the Old Testament prescribes the manner of treatment of the male child. We read it there in Leviticus. We see in the book of Exodus precisely what is to be done. So we are not surprised when we come to verse 22 of chapter 2 that Joseph and Mary carried Jesus. First, when he was 8 days old, they circumcised him and named him. And when the days of her purification, which was a total of when a male child was born, of 40 days. Back again to Leviticus, 7 days plus 33 days, a total of 40 days. The mother was unclean and could not enter the sanctuary. But when the days of her purification were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him unto the Lord. That, in every detail, completes and fulfills in the life of Christ what the law prescribed for him. He was made under the law. He met every condition of the law. No wonder Paul writes that Jesus is the end of the law for righteousness' sake to everyone that believeth. Now, when the days of Mary's purification had come, when Jesus was 40 days old, they carried him to Jerusalem and into the temple to present him to the Lord in keeping with the prescription of the law. Something else took place while they were there. Verse 25 through verse 35 tells us what it was. Verse 25 describes a man by the name of Simeon, a prophet, a godly man, a devout man, a just man, a righteous man, who was waiting for the consolation of Israel. What was the consolation of Israel? The promise of the Messiah. Every young virgin in Israel perhaps prayed from her heart, if not indeed from her lips, that she might mother the Messiah. God selected the Virgin Mary. The Holy Ghost overshadowed her, and that which was conceived in her womb was of the Holy Spirit. Now then, keep in mind that the promise of the Messiah goes all the way back to Genesis 3:15. You remember Adam and Eve had a son named Cain and a son named Abel. In a fit of anger and jealousy, Cain, because his offering was rejected, because it was the work of his own hand, rose up and slew his brother Abel. It seemed that Genesis 3:15 was now meaningless. But God rose up one in Abel's stead. His name is Seth. So out of the line of Seth comes the godly line that is to produce Abraham, in whose loins the Messiah existed. So, when they presented him to the Lord and brought the offerings, the sacrifice, and evidently from the wording here, Mary and Joseph were rather poor people in Nazareth, and they brought just the turtle doves and pigeons because they could not perhaps afford a lamb. When they were in the temple, this man, Simeon, who knew about the promise from the Old Testament, who must have been a student of the Old Testament prophecy, even though 400 years from the closing of Malachi to the opening of the New Testament period were 400 years of darkness and silence, no prophet, no revelation, no word, yet there was a flame still flickering in the hearts of the remnant in Israel, though they had been scattered and dispersed and dispossessed of their own land into foreign lands. There was still the hope that Messiah is coming and that Israel shall be consoled. He was waiting for that consolation. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he would not die until Messiah came. And so when Messiah came, this elderly prophet came into the temple by direction of the Holy Spirit. He took up the baby Jesus in his arms. And he blessed God. And he quoted from an Old Testament passage of Scripture. In verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 6. Listen to these words. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, that is, the people Israel, for a light of the Gentiles. Now, keep that in mind, and read with me Isaiah 49 and verse 6. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. When this aged prophet came in and took the baby Jesus in his arms, he blessed God and said, now, dear God, let me die. Let me depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy, that the Messiah would come as the glory of thy people Israel and as the light of the Gentile nation. And so Simeon blessed God that God was faithful to keep his promise. There was someone else in that company. Her name was Anna. She must have been about 91 years of age, because she lived with her husband before he died for 7 years, and she had been a widow for 84 years. Correction, she must have been over 100 years old, because she had been a widow for 84 years and lived with her husband for 7 years. That would make her 91. And she surely was not married before she was in her teens, or perhaps later. But at any rate, she too was an aged person, a devout person, a prophetess, waiting for the same thing that Simeon was waiting for, the consolation of Israel, that Messiah would come and that Israel would be redeemed and all the Gentile nations would bring their offerings unto him. Verse 38 says that she came in that instant and gave thanks likewise, that is, just like Simeon did, unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. The presentation unto the Lord, the prophecy that was made by Simeon, and the praise that was made by Anna are three things in particular that took place after the first Christmas. Going on in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that from the time he left Jerusalem and Bethlehem in the land of Judea and journeyed into Egypt to escape the wrath of Herod the Great, and back in and through Judea and into the land of Galilee and the city of Nazareth where he grew up, that we have no account of him until he is 12 years, or about 12, or rather about 13, having already passed his 12th year. For when a young Jewish boy had passed his 12th birthday, he became a son of the law, and then began to have fulfilled in his own life the requirements of the law, attending the feasts. So when he had reached and had gone beyond his 12th birthday, we see him again back in Jerusalem with his mother Mary and his foster father Joseph, attending the Passover feast in Jerusalem. There he utters his first recorded words. They testify to his deity. I must be about my father's business. After that, for some 18 years, we have no record of what transpired in the life of Jesus. We can certainly believe that he grew up in Nazareth as a Jewish boy in a Jewish home, was exposed to the Old Testament teaching. For when he was about 30, Luke says in chapter 3, he came from Nazareth to the place on the Jordan River where John the Baptist was carrying on his ministry of baptizing, and there he was baptized of John. After that, into the wilderness, for a period of 40 days and 40 nights, tempted of Satan, overcoming the temptation by quoting the Old Testament scriptures. It is written. He then went into the synagogue in Nazareth where he grew up, Luke chapter 4 tells us. And there Jesus read from the prophecy of Isaiah. And he said to the people, this day, you see these things coming to pass right before your very eyes and right in your own ears. From that time until the day of his crucifixion, about 3 or 3.5 years, Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. His greater Galilean ministry, some 18 months he spent in Galilee, in and around the city of Capernaum. His first miracle was performed in Galilee, the turning of the water into wine in Cana at a wedding feast. Back and forth from Galilee to Judea and the other areas of Palestine, Jesus journeyed, gathering for himself a group of men, 12 in number, one of whom turned out to be a traitor. So that when he was crucified and buried and rose again and ascended back to the Father, he had a nucleus, a group of men who had witnessed his death, burial, and resurrection, who went forth as flaming evangelists and were inspired by the Holy Spirit and anointed with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And from that moment until this, the flames of evangelism have burned, sometimes very dimly, at other times very brightly, but burned just the same. Once Jesus had offered himself on the cross and came forth out of the tomb and ascended back to the Father, he is now at the right hand of God. All of this after the first Christmas. Almost 2,000 years have passed, and all of the scriptures pertaining to his second coming have already been fulfilled. So before another Christmas, the babe of Bethlehem, the Christ of Calvary, may return for his own. He may have by next Christmas already come and received us unto himself and take us on into the heavens, where we shall be seated at the marriage supper of the Lamb. The great tribulation going on here below. And at the end of that approximately 7-year period, he shall come in a second phase of his second advent for the purpose of fulfilling what Isaiah 9, 6, and 7 said, the government shall be upon his shoulders, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. For he shall establish his kingdom in righteousness, and rule and reign supremely over all the earth. This is what Christmas means to us. For the Christ who was the babe in Bethlehem's manger, when on the cross outside the city walls of Jerusalem, and there offered himself a bleeding, dying sacrifice, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. They put him in a tomb, but the tomb could not hold him. They put him in the grave, but he broke asunder the bands of death. The stronghold of Satan could not contain him, and he arose. And after 40 days, he ascended to the Father. Tonight, he is seated there, making intercession for us. Soon, how soon, we don't know. But surely, in keeping with the teaching of God's word, soon he shall come again and receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also. I'm glad that in the Word of God, we have a glimpse of things beyond the first Christmas. And we do not leave Jesus as a babe in the manger. We worship him as a king upon a throne. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Father, we thank thee tonight for thy eternal word. Thank thee for the faithfulness of thy people as we leave this service, as we depart from one another on this Christmas day. May the Christ whom we love and adore live and rule and reign in our hearts. Help us to go beyond Christmas, beyond the manger in Bethlehem, to the cross and through the open tomb, to live a victorious life as the resurrected living Lord lives in us in each day of the coming year, as we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake, with thanksgiving. Good night, and may the Lord bless you real good.